Thanks. Oh, deeper, yet I pray, and higher every day. How many of y'all like that song? I couldn't help but catch what the very last sentence was in that chorus. It said, oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious, holy word. And that really spoke to me. How many of my problems, how many of my situations would sort of melt away if I would be serious about that, what that song says, and be deeper, higher, more into His holy word day by day. I actually had my message titled God's Word, and I realized that there's no way I can get there. So this morning, I've entitled it God's Workmanship. Lord willing, the next time we're going to go into the title of God's Word. But I felt like I needed to start with God's workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You and I, brothers and sisters, are God's workmanship. We are not the main focus. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And it goes on to say that apart from me, you can do nothing. We are only a part of the main thing. And that is Christ, that is God. Anything other than that will be a futile attempt. It will be anything we try to do on our own is going to be something that will falter. It'll fail. It'll be miserable while I'm pursuing it. Anything short of being attached to that vine, anything short of allowing God to be the one that works through us and then us being His workmanship. I've had to think of the word I've used already, maybe in describing somebody, and said, he or she is a piece of work. Maybe all of you used that word already too. But when you would describe something like that, it would be somebody who is not allowing God to move and to work fully in their life. We are His workmanship. And so this morning I want to hone in especially on us as the body, us as the local body, us as believers in this cluster right here this morning. In 2 Peter 1, it says, to those who have obtained faith by God's righteousness. Those of us who have obtained, so he's talking here, those of us who have taken on something. We have received it. We have grabbed onto it. We've latched onto it. And that is, we have latched on to this faith, which is by God's righteousness. Not my own righteousness, not my own righteous ideas, not even my own opinions. But this faith is simply through believing in Christ and accepting His plan for my life. To those who've obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, you don't have to look real far in the news, in the world. There's turmoil. There's not a lot of righteousness. What am I doing? What am I portraying as God's workmanship? How do people look at me? How do people look at you? What do they see when they look at you? Well, this morning, if you would, I would like you to turn your Bibles to the book of Romans. And I'm going to start reading in chapter 11, verse 33. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3 and verse... Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. And I'm going to be just going through not a whole chapter here, but I'll be going through part of chapter 12, and I'll skip 13 and 14, and I'm going over to chapter 15 and then a little bit into 16. So we're going to go on a fast ride, and hopefully my voice will hold out for us to get through this. As we're thinking of who we are as God's people, as we think of who we want to be as God's people, as we think of the peace that we want to have, as we think of the contentment that we long for, 2 Peter 1 also tells us that our grace and peace will be multiplied to us through our knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our grace and our peace will be multiplied through our knowledge. So when we question, why? What's going on with my life? Why is this? Why don't I know which way to turn? Why can't I see out ahead what I feel God is wanting me to do? Where are you in your knowledge of who God is? In your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is? Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." We could say amen to that. "How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And we could say amen to that. His ways, we will never, ever in this life fully or even mostly begin to understand his ways, why he allows this, why he allows this, why he performs things in this way. But we don't need to. But we recognize the depths and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways are past finding out. Then jump down to verse 36, says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things." Does that sound to you like it's all about him? I think it does. "For of him and through him and to him are all things." It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with you about this salvation, this faith. But it's what we are and what we want to become is because of who he is. Because if he would not have done for us, we wouldn't have anything. There wouldn't be us. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, "I beseech you therefore..." A lot of times Paul will start a message saying, "therefore." But here he says, "I beseech you therefore." And I think what he's saying is, think about what I just got done telling you about who God is, how great he is, how unsearchable he is, how unbelievable and unimaginable he is. Then he says, "I beseech you." And this word beseech would mean to maybe like, "I beg of you, I fervently ask of you to consider. I beseech you therefore, brethren." Have you ever thought about the blessing that it is to be called a brother or a sister? When you think of family, maybe it happens if if a sibling would say, "This is my brother," that you would maybe cringe. Most times, when it's introduced that this is my brother or this is my sister, it's an endearing statement. And in a much greater way than that, although there is not a blood connection, but here, as a family, we can call each other brothers and sisters. And Paul's taking advantage of that. He says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren," meaning brothers and sisters, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." You present your bodies holy and acceptable to God. You present your bodies to a holy God, which Kevin last week shared about a loving God, but we cannot have a loving God without recognizing that we have a holy God. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you give everything you have, everything you are, everything that you'll ever be into His care and say, "Here I am, God"? It says, that's just reasonable. And then verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world." And so often we can take that verse and just take that part right there and run with it and think, well, that's legalistic. So we're going to just do these certain things in order, if the world does it this way, we're going to do it this way. But brothers and sisters, I think it's much, much more than that. We think of it so often maybe in the terms of the way I dress. But it's much deeper than that. It does include that. But to not be conformed to this world would mean to not be conformed to the pattern of the thinking of this world. Which, why would you be conformed to the pattern of the thinking of this world? Because you've got a new mind, a new mindset, a completely changed thought process. But it says, "But to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed. And again, I appreciate how he not only says, don't do this, but do this. Don't be conformed, but be transformed. Take it way further than just not doing something, but take it to the point of changing into what you are, into what God wants you to be. To be transformed. There is a noticeable difference, I think, would be a good way to describe the word transformed. There is maybe a radical noticeable difference. Don't be conformed, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. It's not going to work just to change the way your clothes are. It's not going to work just to put different shoes on. It's not going to work just to quit going certain places. But it's by getting a brand new mindset. Brothers and sisters, it tells us, then you will be able to prove. You will be able to understand what is the acceptable, the good, the perfect will of God. And I don't doubt that every one of us in here this morning wants to know what that good, acceptable, perfect will of God is. And I know each one of you have probably got on your knees ready and said, "God, show me. I just need some answers. I can't take it anymore." Don't be conformed to the pattern of the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? Again, we go back to increasing our knowledge. And that is through God's Word. Through God speaking to us through the inspired, infallible Word. It seems so simple, but yet it seems often it's so hard for us to comprehend. Verse 3 says, and I'll quickly go through these here, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Don't think of yourself more highly than what you should. Because at the end of the day, we are all made of the same flesh and blood. We are not but mere mortals. Verse 4, for we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are members of a body. We are part of something much greater than just me. You are part of something much greater than just you. How often do you give thought to that? How often in the course of your life, in the course of your day, do you go out, and even in thinking in your own family, if you would do everything just focused on yourself and not concern yourself with anyone else, what would your life look like? And for all of us, our life would look a lot different because it would appear as a very selfish type of individual. But we recognize that we are a body. We don't all have the same gifts. I don't even understand why you act the way you do sometimes. But you don't understand why I act the way I do either sometimes. But we recognize that we have this mind that has been transformed and that we need each other. I cannot function alone by myself. Then down in verse 9, and in my Bible, it has a heading above it, behave like a Christian. Verse 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Let love be without hypocrisy. In other words, let your love be real. The words maybe are easy to say, but love without hypocrisy is love in action. And we'll get into that here in a little bit. To abhor what is evil. How can that be that difficult, to abhor what is evil? Because if we think of evil, we think of something that's just nasty looking, that's something we want no part of. But evil is actually sin. And it's so easy for us so often to love to sin, or love to, or desire to want to sin. But it says here to abhor it, to not only not do it, but be disgusted by it. And that means we have to give it some thought as to what is the outcome of my actions if I allow myself to sin. It says to cling to what is good. And in Romans 7:9, it shows verses again that I like. Paul even says that I don't do the things that I want to do, but things I don't want to do, I do. He acknowledged, even Paul himself, that sin is constantly at the door. Satan is constantly wanting to pull us aside. Verses 10 through 16, be kindly affectionate one to another. This is how love is without hypocrisy. Being kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. How do you give honor? How do you give preference to someone else? We have a carry-in lunch today. Maybe that's one way we can tell. But I'm hungry, right? Not lacking or lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Give it your all. Give it your best. Be diligent in what you do. Then verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Rejoicing in hope. Rejoicing in what we know is ours, but it's not reality yet. That comes through our faith in Christ. patient through hard times. Patient through times when you don't see what tomorrow's going to hold. Patient through times when you don't know how this particular situation is going to turn out. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. And Wednesday night, we have that opportunity again to come out. How serious are we about being steadfast, about being fervent in prayer for the needs around us, and specifically Wednesday night for Lesson Tanya? In verse 13, when I read this verse, it was like, that's you, and that's you, and that's you, and that's you. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. There is so much that goes on in this brotherhood behind the scenes that people don't even see. But things that are happening, things that aren't just happening, but things that are being done without any fanfare, without anybody being brought up here and applauded for what they've done. But we're looking out for the needs of each other. How willing am I to allow you to care for my needs? How willing am I to even expose my needs? And we say, well, the brotherhood should know what my needs are. They should, and sometimes they do, and maybe a lot of times they do. But there's times that it's okay even, that's what we're for, we're family, to say, you know what? I've got this situation. I don't know what to do. But to allow each other to build into our lives. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Well, I hope that's not within us here. But as we live our life, as there's those around us that would, quote, persecute us, can we just shrug it off and say, I'm not gonna let it get me down? Maybe even share it with someone that somebody can pray with you and someone can stand with you when you're facing times of persecution. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Of putting your arm around somebody. Maybe you haven't experienced the same thing that they're facing in their sorrow. But your presence says it all. Be of the same mind one towards another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. How wise am I in my own opinion? How wise are you in your own opinion? Sometimes it shows up by the way I speak. When I don't even allow someone else to finish what they're saying in a conversation till I tell you what I'm saying, because my story is much more important and much more fascinating than your story. Have you ever done that? I have, to my shame. But even to allow someone else's good story to stand without your better story coming up right behind it. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I think probably what Paul is saying, if you're wise in your own opinion or your own opinions, he would probably say you're a fool. Take opposites. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards each other. And I've skipped a lot of verses in here, but as Paul was going through what he was telling them, he was giving them exhortation. And now he's saying, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus. Watch this next verse. That you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we be such a close body here that the impact, the influence that we have in this community, when someone sees me or someone sees you or you, someone sees me, they think of you. When someone sees you, they think of me. And that they know that with one mind and one mouth, we speak the same things. What are you doing this morning that might be a distraction to that? What am I doing that could be a distraction to that? Am I living my life, or am I doing some things in my life that, as somebody else would look at one of the other members and they would know, that's not Shiloh? Are you causing a hiccup? Are you causing a distraction to those that are about looking in? You are part of a body. You are not your own. I am not my own. I'm only a small part of the whole, complete. That you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify God. And I think if we come out and it's portrayed as having several minds and several mouths, and they're speaking several different things, that's not glorifying God. That sounds like confusion, and it is. And it does not bring glory and honor to God. Verse 13, chapter 15, verse 13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In another scripture, the Holy Spirit is talked about being the comforter. The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and that you may abound in hope. Not just have this small portion or just this mediocre amount of hope, but you are full and overflowing with hope, and it shows, it reflects on how you live your life. And it's through the Holy Spirit that we get the strength. Chapter 16. Bear with me on this one. But follow along and try to think of why I would read this. Chapter 16 in Romans, verse 1. I commend you, Phoebe, our sister who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you might receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is at their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. Greet Androticus and Junia, my countrymen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplifus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and Stashes, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosia, who have beloved Paris, who labored much in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Greet Asantricus and Phlegmon and Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren who are with them. Greet Philegus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. Why would Paul have filled the Holy Scriptures with those verses? I think he did it to help us to try to understand the closeness, the fellowship that is in those of us who name the name of Christ, those of us who are in the body of Christ. To have the privilege of greeting one another. To have the privilege of looking at each other and blessing and recognizing what they have done for the cause of Christ. Have you done that? Are you doing that? Are you greeting the brothers and sisters? Chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the eternal God for obedience to the faith. To God alone, wise, glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God has revealed himself to us, his church. To us, his workmanship. But he has revealed himself through this word. And we want to get into more of that next time, of what his word is and what that revelation means. Shall we stand for closing prayer? Again, in Ephesians, it says, chapter 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Faith and works. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the fellowship of saints. Father, thank you this morning that as we live our lives, as we go through each day of our life, you have made us that we desire relationship. God, would you help us as we look at how I conduct my life, how each one of us conducts our own life, that we would seek ways of how we can encourage, we can bless our brothers and our sisters, how we can be as one mind and one voice to a watching world. Thank you this morning for this blessing of fellowship of believers. Thank you this morning also for this food. Thank you, God, for each one that had a part in bringing food. God, would you make this time of breaking bread together be a time of encouragement as we speak, as we hear, as we encourage each other around a table of food. We count it such a great gift from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.